Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We begin this 1 o'clock hour on Zolak and Bertrand with Kyle Van Noy, Patriots linebacker, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Let's welcome in Kyle Van Noy here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Kyle.
What's up?
Yeah, there you are. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for hanging on there.
What's going on? How we doing?
How you doing? Defense looked pretty good on Sunday. What's the number one reason? Is it just having Pat Chung and Flowers back, but you guys looked a lot different than you did out in Detroit.
That's for sure. I mean, it was a fun game, and you know, I'm not really worried about that game anymore since it's already been a couple of days. And tomorrow we got Indy and Andrew Luck coming in. He played damn good last game, and you know, he's a really good quarterback, and we're excited for this next challenge.
Kyle, on these short weeks, is it the sort of time off and rest being short that's harder, or is it the preparation part of learning the opponent that's harder to do on a short week?
I think it's both. It's a rush to get as healthy and as lathered up as you can to get your body right. And then the mental preparation of having to always know the game plan and know it down like you would in a normal week. It's tough, but we've done it before, and we always are successful in these games, and we're just trying to add another one to that list.
Sort of nightmarish to be the road team, fair to say? I mean, you know, I remember being down in Tampa for the
hard
Thursday.
Yeah, Tampa. Yeah.
And did you watch the last Thursday's game? Because everybody expects that's the way it's going to go in the National Football League this year. Normally, Thursday night games are slugfests, you know, 10-7 or 10-6 type games.
I mean, I always want to keep the scoring low on the defense, but, you know, I always want Tommy and the boys to always put points on the board. But, you know, our goal as a defense is to, you know, keep the scoring low, as low as possible, to give our offense and our team the best chance to win. And it doesn't matter at the end of the day. We just want to do our jobs and get a W on the board.
I don't know if you know this, Kyle, but we were talking about it earlier. There have been more points scored through 4 weeks in this NFL season than any other season in history. And there have been...
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, passing numbers are off the charts. Touchdowns that have been thrown... the record through 4 weeks has been shattered. Do you feel as a defensive player in this league, like you're always sort of in this uphill climb against a league that's trying to get more and more offensive and maybe trying to appeal to a casual fan? Like defense, whether it be the way they change rules or the way the league wants the game to go.
We're looking like arena football scores,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's
well,
sort
ratings
of become.
Are up, though, but the ratings are up, and that's all it seems they care about.
It just feels like defense is being minimized. Your jobs on defense are being minimized in this league.
You're right. I mean, honestly, it's frustrating as a defender because people don't realize, obviously, offensive players get all the pub and all the glory, but there are so many good defensive players in the NFL that don't get any love, that people have no idea about. And there's even some on our team that nationally have no attention, no love, but they're so good at what they do. You know, that's frustrating. And, you know, it's always an uphill battle defensively, but that's the beauty of it. And at the end of the day, you need defense to win championships. And, you know, that at the end of the day, that's what matters. And that's what matters.
Hey, Kyle, you know, you're looking at the linebacking snaps. And, you know, you guys are in the 30s. How much more manageable is that from a freshness standpoint, kicking high back in the middle? It seems like everybody was at their right position this week, and the snaps were manageable. Is that fair to say? Keep it in the 30s, ideally?
Well, I mean, any time, how many plays? I think
49. I think you guys had 40. Yeah, I think Jason McCourty had 49 to 49, and he had the most snaps out of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of crazy to keep a team to that many plays. I mean, anytime you can stay fresh, that's always the best because you're able to get your wind back and feel fresh stepping on the field. So I would say that's key to being able to stay fresh. But at the end of the day, I think anyone's comfortable with whatever role or responsibility that the coaches give. We practice that all through training camp. Training camp is crazy, and that it gets you right for the season, that's for sure. So I think anybody's ready, but at the same time, it's good to be able to have guys step in and be able to rotate.
Kyle, I know you don't want to dwell on last week's game and the win, but you did have a recovery in that game, and there was a little bit of celebratory dancing after the fact. Maybe defensive players need more choreographed dances together, like touchdown celebrations, but for big plays on defense. Maybe your defense needs more dancing. Oh,
I feel you. I think I got some cooking for hopefully tomorrow night to be able to show the people. I got something good.
Good. Hey, Edelman's back. What's his mouth like in the locker room? Is this him and Tommy? Him and Tommy? And hey, hey, buddy. Hey, Skip. Hey, pal.
I know. I got to get my timing. Jules is funny, man. He's such a hard worker. I mean, he's sweating from head to toe in dang walkthroughs. You know, he's a baller, and we're excited to have him back. You know, he brings an energy and an attitude, and, you know, we're glad he's back.
Do you ever walk in and just find him there sitting on, like, Tom's lap? And Tom's petting him
like
or anything?
Like a puppeteer.
You know, yeah. Kind of like a little dog or something?
Man, I don't want to make fun of him too bad. I'll hurt his feelings.
No, you want to, but you're not going to.
Has he been keeping Brady's cars clean these 4 weeks?
I do want to. I'm kind of close with doing it, but I'm just going to let it slide.
All right, maybe next week. Maybe after he gets his legs under him and plays a game, you'll feel more ready to do that.
Yeah, I got you. I'll get you on that.
Hey, I got a last one for you. Last one, we'll let you go here. This has nothing to do with Josh Gordon off the field or what he's been through or what are the expectations for him moving forward. But from a physicality standpoint, you played a while in this league and you match up and practice against guys, and we just got done making fun of Edelman. You know, he's a little guy, he gets in there, but, you know, durability. How many guys in this league have you seen of that size and that type of power that if it's right, boy, this guy can do some damage?
Yeah, there's probably only two other dudes I've been on the field that's been like him. And, you know, one's Calvin Johnson, the other's Julio Jones. But he's right in there with both of those dudes. He's a beast, and I'm happy he's on our team.
All right.
All right, Kyle, appreciate the time.
See you tomorrow night.
All right.
Good luck.
All right, fellas.
Good luck.
Enjoy the game.
Will do.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Kyle Van Noy.
He hung up.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Does he listen to
how long you want to keep it going? All right, thank you. Thank you.
Listen to
get
the
it
six?
Going. All right.
Let's go.
Can I end it? What?
He's working on a dance.
Are you upset now?
No. No, we're up against it right here.
We got time.
Just because the clock is ticking doesn't mean we've ended the segment.
Right.
You do know that.
I know that.
Okay. All right. Why don't we jump back to your calls? We talked about a lot of different things today. NFL stuff, Patriots stuff. Celtics, Red Sox, even the Bruins starting their season tonight. All of it's in the fold.
And I want to take Brady off the Schneider for what I...
Oh, yeah, and you'll explain that play further, his pick that he threw, the ball that was intended for Dorsett, and your calls next.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tracy is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changing, it's hard to find. Just he's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching me with those eyes, yeah. And she's touching my body, I know it.
Yeah! What's up, Hardy?
Rick Springfield.
Is he a one-hit wonder?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
It ain't hard to complain. Yeah.
One-hit wonder. I'd say you're about 20% on the lyrics there.
And I'm off. I haven't heard it in a while.
Van Noy. Good interview. Working on a new dance.
Yeah.
You know, I think of defensive players dancing. You know who I go straight to?
What do you do?
Chris Canty. That's about all he could do was dance.
Oh, one-legged pink guy?
Guy you played with.
The one I played with, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy you played with.
The one...
The corner.
I think it's in the book where Pete Carroll told me and Troy Brown to stop throwing at him in practice.
Because he couldn't handle it?
Can you guys just stop picking on my top draft pick, please? Yeah. Yeah, us backups will stop making him look bad. Practice, yeah. As I would throw it and be released, I'd be giggling.
Speaking of the book, it's out. You
book
can get
is
it.
Out. If These Walls Could Talk, yep. Tell us from the sideline in the booth. Jeff Holland, myself, saw Bledsoe retweeted it yesterday. Thanks to him, he wrote the foreword to it. A lot of good stories in there from the 90s, the bad times, and then eventually to the good times. You know, just how it's gone. A lot of stuff in there on Robert Brady.
Is the tie story in the book?
I think the tie story is in the book.
Okay, good. Yep. I won't spoil
it. Yeah, then. Because it has to be, yeah. Well, I mean, I could still tell it. Well, I think I have told
it. Well, you have. I don't know if you've told it on the air. You've told it to us a bunch of times.
You think it's in the book?
I'll give you a little snippet. I can't. I have so many stories. I don't remember what's in the book.
Have you read your book?
Yes. You had to proofread it before it went to print. Everything that I had there, I had to proofread.
The story is that Victor Kiam.
It's great. So we had the old, we had these crappy, this one big crappy room that we would have a team meeting to start it off. And to break off the team meeting, you'd have to stop because all the rookies would have to get up and push the partitions back and separate the one big room into three different small rooms. So special teams, offense, and defense.
Because you played in a high school stadium.
Because we played in a piece of crap. And I'll just never forget this before Christmas. Sam Jankovic, one of the CEOs of the team, one of the heads comes in, guys, we have a visitor for you. And he stood at the podium. And then everything stopped. And then Victor Kiam came walking in with his hands crossed in front of him, stopped and stood before us. I'd like to thank all of you for all of your efforts throughout this fine year. And I have some gifts for you. I would like, and they brought in this folding table from like BJ's, you know, like we get food drops and they put it on out there.
Yeah.
Or if we're ever on remote, you have the plastic table with the two legs. Yeah. I think it was maybe an 8 or 10 footer.
Yeah.
And I'm in the back of the room, and I'm trying to stand up because I can see the table, but you can't really
see. Because you got excited.
Everybody's heads are
free
flat.
Stuff.
It's not stadium seating. It's flat seating, so you can barely see people up in front of you. I'm like, they got some free stuff. What do you bring, some razors, some of the good stuff, you know, to plug in, rechargeable? No, it's a flat table, and what you can see is all neckties just lined up, boom, 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 boom. And the cool thing was, if you were a veteran of 5 years or more, you had first dibs on selecting one of those ties. Needless to say, I got to pick from one of four really god-awful ties that I never wore. And everybody's like, thank you, Mr. Kiam. Thank you.
You know,
that's when you knew you made it in the league.
You know how we know our brains are fried? Jim tells me that we told this story 2 days ago on the air.
About 48 hours ago in the Gillette studio.
Oh.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Good story, though.
Well, I was sick. I wasn't with you guys. I was here.
Can you imagine that, though?
And I was ill.
NFL owner giving out ties. For Christmas.
Single tie. Like, not like a grouping.
But that seems that seems like something you would have kept. Did you keep it?
Hell no. It wasn't even a good tie.
Yeah, I was going to say, they were cheap ties.
It wasn't even like a Robert Talbot ties. Or, you know, a Versace or anything like that. It wasn't even a designer tie. It's like a piece of crap. You can just tell it's just silk.
The and
silk
he owned Remington Razors.
Yeah, like give everybody, put a box of razors in everybody's locker.
Ooh, right. Would have been nice.
Yeah, because they can come in. You're like, baby, didn't shave that day. Be, you know, trying to get you off the blade. Now, team, you know, big sponsors, Gillette. You get the nice sharp razor, man. Ooh,
can I question one detail in the book?
Oh,
I immediately questioned
question
them.
Question
right
all
away.
Of them, please.
Yeah.
You know how we have the Zomath issue sometimes?
Sure, go on.
It was 2 to 4 inches. It comes 6 to 10 a couple days later. Was the ride from the airport to the Foxborough really 2.5 hours?
Yeah, you could get Aaron Salkin. You could get Aaron Salkin on the phone right now.
Oh, Jim, you're forgetting something.
2.5 hours?
Yeah.
On a random April day?
You're forgetting something, Jim.
I came in on Friday, Jim. There was Friday rush hour traffic. I landed at Logan.
That was 1991, right?
And you didn't have the new highway system.
There was no
that you
Ted Williams tunnel then. There was no quick route out of the airport. That there's different times, and you had to go through downtown to get the hell out of the city when you went to the
toll
airport.
Toll plaza or throwing money in the ting,
you know, on the basket.
Yeah, the basket. Okay, yeah. Let's go through, and then you sit in a tunnel for about 45 minutes. That was fun.
Different times,
but I drove past.
You think the traffic in Boston is bad now? It's still better than what it was with far fewer cars on the road.
It actually may have been longer than that, Jim. And think about that for a kid that you're coming in as a 22-year-old kid and you've never been to Boston or you have no clue where the hell you're going. So it felt like it was 6 or 7 hours just crawling all the way out to Foxborough in the dark rain. Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get back to this Brady play. Andy Benoit from Sports Illustrated tweeted this out, probably the best defensive player of the year. This guy, this little slot corner, McCain, it's a double seam route that Dorsett breaks off as a crosser, and Brady's trying to throw the ball to Dorsett. It's on his first interception of the day. And this guy, McCain, carries Hogan up the slot, has his back turned to Brady, and Brady sees the back, and that's an indicator for a quarterback. That's like that trail technique. You're going all the way up the field, so all you're doing is watching a receiver. So, boom, I see your back, I see your name, I'm throwing right there for that spot. Because I got a crossing route coming underneath, and he peels right back inside and baits Brady into throwing the ball to the in-cut. That's good defensive coaching and recognition by the Dolphins, knowing that combo route, Hogan in a slot, Dorsett outside, and this is something that Josh is going to take to the next step, where if we show this again, we can't run that crossing route out of it. We're going to have some different combination to where we can't. And this is film study. You know, you go into this, we know that Hogan's going to go up the seam. What I'm going to do is run 14 yards up and turn back, and Brady's going to try and force it into Dorsett. It's a great read by McCain. Perfect play. Andy Benoit, I retweeted it from this morning. So I take that pick off Brady. Sometimes defense wins.
Yeah, sometimes they make a play.
They make you throw it there.
The other guys get paid too, right?
So I'm like, wow, Brady didn't see him? Because, you know, I'm watching a pocket during the game. You know, you kind of see the flow up the field, but then you see the guy just sitting right there, and Brady basically hits him between the 2 and the 9. And I'm like, that's a bad interception. That's not a bad interception. That's a good interception.
It was like a magic trick, that guy, what that guy did.
It's unreal
fabulous.
What he did.
It's like, amazing.
Teddy Bruschi used to do this stuff in zone.
How did he see it? How did he know?
See it. He never saw it. That's the plan the whole way on that play.
My point is that's defensive coaching.
Because you can tell he passes him off, and he turns around, and he's right back. What I don't know how he saw is where the player was, because he instinctually turns back.
He didn't see Dorsett.
And he's right on Dorsett.
So Brady said he thought he saw Dorsett coming at the last second, and that's why he turned. But I don't know.
I don't think he did.
Even Brady said that's just a great play.
I think he passed him off, turned around, and he was there to make a play.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff like Terrell Buckley when I was with him in Miami, and then he eventually played here during the first Super Bowl.
Right.
That these are the type of plays T-Buck used to make.
But that's a play that guy's not making if he's not good at playing the position and he's not quick and he has great movement back in the other direction. Like, he changes direction there.
It's that cone drill
on a dime. It's crazy. That is three cone drill right
there.
People
like to make fun of the cone drill, but this is what they look for. They want to see your quickness in transition. What's the timing?
And
when the guy turns around and gets the Jugs Gun 90 right at him and he turns around.
He's also doing it on a play.
Yeah.
It's not like he knows he's going to get a pick by doing it. He's doing it just because it's his job. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
I got it.
And he does it well.
It's amazing.
And because he did his job well and he gave full effort on the play, he's there to make a play.
It's
really
crazy because it's the look of man, but it's really zone. That's a good job.
It is. It's zone.
Yeah. Good job by the Dolphins there.
Mabel's in the car. Mabel, how are your Cowboys doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you guys? Great. Hey, got your email. Sorry about that other thing. We won't do that anymore.
You won't do what anymore?
Never mind. Like it never happened.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
So it won't behoove me to rip on the Patriots, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that my Cowboys have the same record as the Pats. Is that correct? Just wanted to clarify that.
I don't know what the Cowboys record is.
Hold on.
Is it 2-2?
Sounds right.
Are they 2-2?
And what I was going to say is I was very upset that Bailey got traded, but I don't know if you saw the game, and Mayer made that win kick. It was pretty awesome. So, and Zeke woke up, so I think we play the Texans on Sunday Night Football. So I think we're on a
battle of Texas, huh?
Yeah, battle of the Lone Star State.
Where's that game at? Houston. I don't know. It's got to be in Dallas. Dallas.
Yeah, whatever.
So we've had
thanks, Ken.
Ken call. We've had Mabel call. Jungle Low.
That's two callers using the word behoove.
And is Paulie and Deb still on the line?
He wasn't there, but now he is again.
Oh.
We'll get to Paulie coming up right after this. And I want to get to a Providence story.
Oh,
just fine. So ridiculous. Classic.
Another
classic
win for
Rhode
Worcester.
Island.
Another
classic
win.
Rhode Island.
Another win for Worcester.
I'll get that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruce Cassidy takes his team to D.C. tonight to take on the defending champion Washington Capitals to begin the Bruins season. First line ready?
Now we have Berge, who looks like he's 100% ready to go. That's a big difference in our lineup that, you know, should get Marshy and Pasta excited. They were playing with younger guys, and I'm sure they were trying to help them out. And sometimes that takes away from your own game. So, you know, that line should be, you know, up and ready to go.
Judd Surratt, Bob Ears have the call starting at 7. Puck drop 7:30 right here on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the award-winning Honda Accord. Celtics fell to the Cavaliers 102-95 last night. Play the Cavs again on Saturday in Cleveland. Patriots getting ready for the visiting Indianapolis Colts tomorrow. Not sure if Rob Gronkowski is going to play. He sat out yesterday's session. The ankle injury he suffered in Sunday's win over the Dolphins.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, item number one, Paulie in the truck. Go ahead, Paulie. Paulie, you there? I teased it and everything.
Oh, no.
Everything. Paulie going once. Paulie going twice.
Put him on hold, Beetle. Come on.
No, he's not there. Goodbye.
Oh!
Sorry.
We're going for the trifecta today.
We actually were ready to go.
You include Mabel. We were going to have, we didn't have Jungle Low.
Yeah, Jungle Low called, he just didn't go on the
Lorraine hasn't called yet.
I'm sorry. That's the Pentaveret. When you get Lorraine, Mabel, Jungle Low, Paulie, Ken.
Yeah.
Then Mabel takes the time to write me an email that I refer to, and she has no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
Jim forwarded along this Providence story today from Go Local Prov.
Little City. Little brother. Talk about the real little brother.
Taking the kids to the Providence Bruins game and want to send a video to grandma, need to respond to some emails while watching the Friars game, or want to post some pics to Facebook while attending Disney on Ice, then you may have to get the credit card out. While many venues are trying to encourage fans to be more active and involved in the era of social media, the leaders of the Rhode Island Convention Center Authority seem to be taking up a new and counter strategy.
They say, go back to the 80s.
The Dunkin' Donuts Center and the Rhode Island Convention Center are now charging $9.99 for use of high-bandwidth Wi-Fi after 30 minutes. The new policy is unprecedented.
Sad. Can you imagine being even a suite holder?
In the TD Garden in Boston and the DCU Center in Worcester, at their venues, Wi-Fi is free. And both venues seemed surprised by the question when they called to check on this.
Why wouldn't we have free
Tech Wi-Fi? Republic writes, younger fans are leaving stadiums when they can't get connected. So sports teams are finally embracing technology as a way to improve the fan experience and increase a team's bottom line. Keep someone in your building, you keep them eating, drinking, and buying tickets to come back to your games. In Providence, they decided, you know what? These people need to pay us $10 to use the Wi-Fi.
Right.
First 30 minutes are free. Who pays
Jim, what do you have to say
$10
about
for Wi-Fi?
Your little building down there in Providence.
It's embarrassing. It's completely embarrassing.
Well, do you know what the hell of it is? When you're on the Wi-Fi in one of these buildings, how does it work for you?
I can tell you from my experience that just this past weekend at the game.
When I'm at a game.
When you have a full capacity stadium, it doesn't work as well. I'll tell you, I've been in the stadium when no one's there, and that Wi-Fi flies, baby. It just gets taxed when you've got 65,000 people now
who are all trying
to use it at once.
Right.
Yes.
I got a picture that's better than I'm going to tweet my picture.
Look at that. I got a picture of the football game.
Sarge be upset about this.
The Garden's not bad. I went to the Garden, for the tournament, and it works all the time.
I got to say, the Garden one in games, it holds up to it, but you got fewer people and fewer signals trying to be sent between, you know, routers and every phone in the place.
Is the dunk bigger in the Garden, or is it smaller?
Smaller.
Oh.
Smaller.
Yeah, like 12,000 seats.
Intimate.
That is embarrassing.
Oh, it's so bad. Not only that, most people don't need the Wi-Fi. It's nice if you can get it.
Most people
don't need it.
I bet Providence Place Mall is free Wi-Fi.
How many people don't have a 4G phone now? That number has got to be low.
Well, if you don't, then why are you looking for Wi-Fi? You have a flip phone. You're not looking for Wi-Fi either.
Well, no. If you have an older smartphone that doesn't have 4G, like no one who would even have that anymore.
Do they even sell flip phones anymore?
I wonder if they're going to block the cell connection to get people to pay for the Wi-Fi. That's what I'm curious about.
I think that's illegal now.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
It's Providence.
It's Providence.
Yeah, but Buddy's dead.
They're known for such activities.
You're talking about gray areas.
They're
not illegal, illegal. These are gray area terms.
$10 to use Wi-Fi.
No, thank you.
No, I'm good.
First thing I thought of was mid-November, the sports betting is supposed to be legal in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And if people want to try to do in-game betting, maybe this is why they were trying to jump on this.
Again, why would you not just use your signal from your phone?
And promote it. Come watch a game and bet here in our house.
And if you
betting, you need a good signal. Like the live betting, you need a really good signal because it's happening as the game goes on, especially like a basketball or hockey game.
Okay, if you are going to charge for Wi-Fi, does $9.99 seem like the appropriate price?
No.
Lanny
just said back here, do you have to commit to the $9.99 before you get the free 30 minutes, or how does that work?
A good point. Good question. But why would be the point of that? Why would it be a free 30 minutes?
It'd be like a flight.
You're not getting anything for free.
It would be a flight, but it gives you the first, 20 minutes or 15 minutes of the movie.
I think it's okay is if you're going to be on your Wi-Fi for more than 30 minutes at a game, then why are you going to the game? So in a way, it's like, all right. If you're going to just be on your phone the whole time, why be at the game?
What if it's not total time? It's like from 1 o'clock to 1:30.
What world do you think you live in today? You ever watch a baseball game and watch people looking down at their phones? I mean, we've talked about this with people getting hit with
balls and bats.
Yeah, but it's not
a baseball game. Basketball and hockey go fast. Or if you're at a concert or Disney on Ice.
Jim, I'm with you.
What about the AFC Championship game where Sarge's battery went dead in 2 quarters because of the amount of pictures he took?
I don't know, Jim. All I'm saying is that all the other venues offer free Wi-Fi, and this one's charging $10.
It's absurd.
Is an absurd number, even if you are going to charge.
I was at Monster Truck with my kid, and watching Gravedigger, and that thing moves fast, and it's amazing to watch. And you look at everybody in front of us. Everybody's holding their phones up, filming it, and sending it out.
But you don't need Wi-Fi for that. You're just filming it.
But if you're filming it and you want to send it out, or
maybe just filming it for a keepsake.
Oh, yes, you could go sit down. Wow, look at me and his phone. Look at this truck on my phone.
I have one for a while. It wasn't a Gravedigger. It was El Toro Loco.
El Toro with the big...
Texas.
Hook'em horns. Love it. Love it.
So I don't know if there's any truth to the rumors, though, that Worcester really attracted the Paw Sox with free Wi-Fi.
I think Worcester gets to take another victory lap here. Hey, if you built your new stadium down there in Providence on the river, on the waterfront, would you charge for Wi-Fi at Paw Sox games?
I don't know, cost them $100 million, they might have to.
Yeah.
Ooh. Today's takeaways are coming up. First, though, Pete in Delaware. Go ahead.
Hey, Petey.
Hey, guys. Hey, question for you. I think the New York Giants are trying to take the mantle as the most mismanaged team from the Cleveland Browns in football. Mm-hmm. Not only did they not draft a quarterback, but I was watching the game this weekend. Do you realize that they brought in Mike Shula, who worked with Cam Newton for 5 years, to be the new offensive coordinator for Eli Manning? Could you get two different quarterbacks in the NFL than that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Guys bounce around. I mean, look at a guy like North Turner and the amount of different quarterbacks he's worked with. And I've heard Aikman talk about it, you know, how good he is for him, but how he adapts to certain offenses.
I was going to say, good coaches adapt to what they have.
Right.
Or good coordinators do. Yeah, I don't think that's automatically makes him a bad coach.
Yeah.
He might be bad, but it won't be for that reason.
Mike Shula, he was down in Miami. Yeah, we had him down there.
Kevin's in Rhode Island today. Oh, he just hung up as I put him up.
Oh. Okay. Was he defending the dunk?
No, he think he had been on hold prior to that.
It's going
to
be a hashtag.
Maybe the Wi-Fi thing offended him. Yeah. last call of the day, Brendan in Maine. Brendan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
I pretty much just want to spread some positivity around. I've been listening to that Kraftwerk podcast that you do.
Oh, thank you.
It's great. It's got some weird music, but it's pretty good. And then Zoe, I've recently started listening to the call of the game from the radio side while watching it on TV because of the new app. It lags behind just enough that I can line it up on TV.
Awesome.
So
yeah,
it is awesome, and I think it would behoove everyone else to do it as well.
Good call, Brendan.
Very good.
If you're in the area, you can use the app now for streaming of the game.
That craft work, it's outstanding. You and Jim put a ton of time in.
I was going to say the music this past week was not bad at all. It was. What word am I searching for?
Relevant.
Yes, thank
relevant
you.
Relevant to the time.
Yeah.
Normally, yeah.
I don't know what other word I was thinking of.
Behoove? Time dates it.
Behoover? B-E-H-O-O-O-V-E-R?
Something like that.
It was behoovient.
V-E-H-O-O-V-E-R.
It was MJ.
Something like that.
It was Michael Jackson because we were talking about the Victory Tour.
Oh.
It was that and what was the other one? There was a Phil Collins song in there too. Wasn't bad.
Studio.
I thought it was fitting.
Studio?
Girl, that's beyond my mind.
Maybe you should listen. You know that it was good, like Brandon knows.
Is it really a girl's name, Studio?
No. It's not even a word. Today's takeaways are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To the takeaways we go. What do we got, Zo? What do we got?
Sorry.
What they brought to us by?
The off-air discussion is so interesting. Wow, we should do that on there. Hey, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life at the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Let's go.
All right, can we just do like joint takeaways here?
Yeah,
we already know what we want.
We know what we want.
No one has to claim them.
People get on us for not talking cleat.
We talk some cleat.
We got Friedel with the Beetle on today.
Smokes.
People said, "Hey, Zoe, you know what? I've been listening to your soccer knowledge.
I know
pretty good interview.
I know what
week.
Hardy's doing in his free time. It's watching soccer.
Hardy like asked this question. I'm like looking at him like, who the hell are you? Listen to this.
Back to Atlanta for a second. The tough thing about them seems to be is they have finishers, but the way they move through that middle third of the field, how do you begin to shut them down before they really get into that position on the field where they're a true scoring threat?
Coach, I asked you last week about Guillermo Oche, and that's a guy you acquired about a month ago. So you got 59 minutes for you guys on the right wing and extended play there. How do you think he played? Breaking it down.
Friedel's like, where the hell do these guys come up with this stuff?
Okay.
Have they been paying attention?
My excuse is, yes, I pay attention because I do a lot of the pre and post games with Clyde Sims, former Revolution midfielder.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be on the game this Saturday.
I'm going to drop names.
I'll be on the game.
Name dropper.
You know what Clyde does now?
Yeah, I know Willie McGinnis. I got Willie McGinnis a football life coming out.
By the way, Willie McGinnis will be on the show tomorrow.
You know about Clyde's new enterprise, Revs, the indoor cycling studio.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
That place is awesome.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a big thing.
That's a big thing. And
I can't tell how many times I go past him. People come out and just sweat their ass off. Yeah.
But Clyde does the games with me. So that's my... That's my excuse.
Yep.
Because I've been doing this for a few years now, and I've been following the team. How do you know so much?
Because I went to Maryland for 5 years, and I got through by buying Cliff Notes. They sell them on racks right there, and you don't really need the book. You don't need the class to study the
Cliff
Notes.
They even make those anymore.
I think they do. You can probably get them online.
Probably digital.
Yeah. Probably everything's digital now.
Digital. Everything's digital
now. So if you just do a little note study here and there, you kind of know what you're talking about.
You catch a couple of the matches. It's good.
Yeah.
You like sports? You're a sport.
I like sports.
What do they call that? A pitch?
All right, we got more to get to. Nice. Stuttering Bert today?
Yeah, it's Stuttering Bert.
Oh, this was a good one.
Jesus. I mean, here's the thing.
You want to bring in Earl Thomas and
Allen. Well, and you've got, like his role has...
Okay, you'd say...
He's a center fielder, right? You've already got two guys who are capable of playing center field, McCourty and Harmon. Both those guys have played that role, right? So what are you bringing him in here to do?
Dude, that's a takeaway. I swear to God, I'm going to punch you in the head. I swear to God. It's like I got my ears covered. I can hear everything. That's funny, huh, Bert?
He doesn't even know why he's laughing.
It's not funny.
You said punch in the head.
Okay, that was Zoe Disney.
He's a center fielder, right?
Six times. Ahead.
It's like he's going to lose the thought if he doesn't keep doing that.
That's not his best. His best one of all time is a Green Bay. Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay.
Green Bay is the gold
Green Bay
standard.
It's the gold standard.
Zoe's threatening to...
That's funny, Hubbard.
That's so threatening me to punch me in the head.
I thought you were making fun of me, not Bert, that time.
No, I'm like, why are you going to punch me?
I know, you could use it for a note.
No, it wasn't you, it was Bert.
I thought I stepped on Bert, and you're like, Jim, give me that takeaway.
No. Yeah, give me
let
the
me
Bert.
Ask you something.
I took the punch back.
He's a center fielder.
66 times.
Yeah. See, Bert grew up probably watching a Porky Pig cartoons.
Yeah, we got to move along here because we have this. It's very long.
Oh.
But it's worth it.
Does he ever disappoint?
It's an all-timer today with Ken and Lowell.
Hey, Saul. Hey, Beetle. Hey, Heidi.
How you
What's
doing?
Going on, Ken?
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, I want to weigh into the Red Sox.
Please do. When's the last time we mentioned him on a show?
Well, that's why I asked the call screener. He says that you guys haven't been talking about him for a while.
We talked earlier. We welcome your call on Chris Sales.
Yeah. What do you got, Ken?
All right. Well, okay. Now, there's all this discussion going on about Chris Sales' last start out, and he's only thrown to 92 miles an hour and stuff like this, right?
Yep. Stuff like
all
that.
Right, so, all right. And, you know, first of all, my theory is that he was just working on something like a change-up slider or something like that. I don't know what's going on with that. But... wouldn't it behoove the Red Sox and Alex Cora to, like, start, say, Eduardo Rodriguez, throw up a curveball against the Yankees or the Oakland A's, all right? Because the Oakland A's start out with their bullpen or something like that. I don't know what they got going on. But wouldn't it behoove him to bring the...
How many times do you use the word behoove in a sentence?
Well, he's using it correctly. Let him finish.
I love it. I haven't heard it in a while.
No, I just read that word in the book the other day. But anyway, like, why can't you bring him out of the bullpen, like, in the fourth inning or something like that, just to get him warmed up for the when it gets real down to the real nitty-gritty?
Excellent
don't
point.
Don't pay attention first four innings a game.
What book were you reading, Ken?
Yeah, I forget the name of it. I don't know, but it said something behoove. B-E-H-O-O-V-E-R or something like that.
Behoover.
Yeah, behoove.
It's a new vacuum.
I don't know. Hey, like, wouldn't it be to your best interest? I mean, something like that to that.
To behoove you.
To finish it.
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, regardless,
so.
Right?
I think so.
I
mean...
Nah.
B-E-H-O-O-O-V-E-R.
Behoove.
Behoove.
B-E-H-O-O-V-E-R or something like that. I don't know.
They had irregulars today, man. I'll tell you that.
The best is when he said something and Hardy and I both look at each other. Hardy and I looked at each other directly and we both mouthed to each other, what? What? And Hardy's like, I got it.
The only question that needed to be asked, what book?
And now we know, the one he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. from Foxborough. It's game day tomorrow.
Nice.
We'll get you covered all day long. Get you ready for Patriots and Colts. Felger and Maz are coming your way next.
Let's go, Yankees.
Bye.